Okay. So,
hold on 1 second. I'm trying to...
You forgot your prayer. God, talk, no. Write it down. No, write no, it no. down.
No, hold on. Let me turn this off. Okay. Lord, I just thank you for our family that gathers every Monday night. I'm so thankful for every one of you, them, and I ask that you would just bless them tremendously. Give us all like our own personal revelations, Lord. Thank you that we get to just share and be part of a community and part of family. And Lord, I thank you for Wallace. I thank you that you have awesome things for him to share and to impart in us, through us. Lord, just bless him. I pray just your Holy Spirit just to come down and just fill us all up. Lord, I pray that tonight would mark a new era in our life. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's good.
And so, yeah, this is this handsome gentleman with the glasses. His name is Wallace Johnson. And he has a ministry called New Mystic. Wally, what we can do later is put all of your information on our like on our page so that people know exactly how to get to your material.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, go for it.
Cool. Let's see. I'm just going to do a little intro of me and not make the whole message about my intro, because I could do that. Well, let me do this, which is different. When I was asked to speak, the Lord introduced me to your group, okay? So the way I roll is I just don't, you know, I don't just go to your Facebook page and go, look, there's an Everlasting group. I'm like, so a couple years ago, so Tamara, who's on the call, Tamara is the first person I spoke at in a couple years ago. The Lord said, you'll be speaking, traveling and speaking. And I went, no, I'm not. And he's, well, whatever. And so Tamara was the first one the Lord used to get me on the road and on the road again, whatever. So, but yeah, so a couple years ago, Tamara's first at her house meeting. Anyway, so what I do now is when I get an invitation, I go to the meeting. So I go into the future and see what I'm going to say. And then I come back and then I write down what I'm going to say. So when I got invited for you guys, the Lord didn't do just like he'd done before. Did a little different. He took me to a scripture and we're going to talk about scripture. So he gave me a prophetic view of your group. So it doesn't matter. So I'm not talking to the five faces or six, well, five faces. Or I'm talking. Anyway, I'm not talking to the faces. I'm speaking to your group. So that's those who will listen to this, those who won't listen to this, those who are going to be joining your group, and those who've left your group. Okay. So the words that I'll be speaking, a lot of them are not my words. So and it will go there. Okay. So that's how that works. The way I know that to be true is back in the late 80s, early 90s, I think 1989, probably the fall, the Lord called me to be an equipper, to equip people for victory, right? And so that's what I do. I will equip y'all to be victorious in your walk. So it's a very custom-made for you individually. So now, some people have said, I've heard them before, well, what you haven't heard is how the Lord uses me. So he gave me a scripture. The scripture is Romans 1:11. It says, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift that you may be established and strengthened and established. So in the calling, he equipped me with the ability to impart, right? So you will get stuff that you did not have the ability to get, okay? This is like going to Walmart and someone giving you a coupon for 50% off. You know, you didn't earn this, but you got it, and now you get to use it. So you'll get stuff tonight, right, that will be, well, so when he highlighted the word impart to me, I was like, what does that even mean? He reminded me in the ninth grade, I was in a little ninth grade art class, and I was not a very good artist, but during the time we were doing the clay thing, you know, to go into the kiln. And for all those who remember that class, you're supposed to make sure all the air bubbles are out, right? And if you don't, bad things happen. Well, bad things happened when I made my Volkswagen for my mom. I didn't get all the air bubbles out, right? So here I am, the Lord's giving me a flashback to the ninth grade. I'm thinking, I thought I forgave myself and I repented for that. And he shows me inside the kiln, my Volkswagen bug exploding, and all the pieces of my clay bug were embedded into this young lady who was way gifted. She should not have been in the ninth grade. She should have been out there making figurines, because she was phenomenal. Well, I destroyed everything in there, right? Even her awesome figurines. And I'm thinking, God, this is not nice. You know, I hope she's over the trauma. You know, I was over the trauma because I didn't care. And I said, why are you showing me that? He goes, when your pieces of clay got infused into the other pieces of clay, it was impossible to undo that. So when you speak, the revelation that comes out of you will embed itself into people, okay? And when they walk through life and the question says in their mind, wow, I wish I had the, at that point, they'll be able to look down and see that embedded revelation, and you'll give them the ability to open up this gifting, this spiritual gift that will help them be strengthened to do their life, right? I went, that's pretty cool. So the responsibility you have is you're going to get it. There's no ins and nothing. So you'll get something, but you and the Lord have to unpack it, okay? And so there for those who, you know, who hear me, whether by book, by tape, by audio, by video, the excuse of when they're standing in front of the Lord at the end of time, whatever, that excuse of, Father, I did not know, I wish I knew how to do, that excuse is now gone. So I give you the warning. So if you want to have an excuse, leave now. Okay? Seriously. If you want to be able to stand in front of God and say, you know, I never was taught this, I never got, I didn't have a father who, I didn't have a mother who, no one ever cared, no, all those thingies that run through your head, if you want to use those excuses, you need to not listen to me, you need to not read any of my books, any of my videos, any, because they just release, and it removes that ignorance that you think you have. It removes the, I wish I'd gone to Bible school thing. All that just gets put aside, right? And that choice of self-pity party because you didn't know, you didn't go to the conference, you couldn't afford the conference, all that stuff, okay? So you can now have a problem with your Zoom. You can now lose power accidentally. You can now unpay your internet bill. You can just fade off, and I'll go like, oh, wow, darn. I wish they'd paid their bill. Okay, they'll listen to the video later on. But for those who want to have a life that's changed forever, it's not me. It's you're putting your faith into heat, right? I'm just a vessel, right? But I know what I'm designed to do. And you guys need to know what you're designed to do also, and be that confident in it and not shrink back to who you are, to who you think you are. You need to be who you are, okay? That's kind of in this message. So back to the intro. So you'll get information of I've got 50 plus audios on my Podomatic. The first three are from Tamara's house. Because she started my... Tamara, I don't know if you know that. My first three video audios are from you. I mean, from your house. So thank you for your environment. You're the foundation of my Podomatics. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah.
So, well, I am a launch pad.
Yeah, you are. And that's true. That's part of your gifting, too. So you can hear Tamara screaming in the background if you want to in those first audios. And they're called, like, Paradigm Shift or something like that. So you have access to those. That's free. My website, you have access to a bunch of blogs, and you can order my books. So I've written five books. Four of them are published. The next one will be published within the week. Okay. And if you don't want to buy them, send me a contact me and I'll send you any one of the five or all five because I equip, right? So if you want it and you want to live a life of excuses, get my stuff, right? So there's books, there's videos, there's audios, and that's it. Oh, so just this last fall, I thought I had my ministry, how I was going to fulfill my calling to equip believers. I had audios, I had MP3s, I had DVDs. I'm thinking, I'm done, right? And so God's awesome. So last fall, he planted the seed of, I want you to start a university. I was like, a what? And so this spring, I started a university, the University of Mystics. It has 12 modules. I've delivered 6 of those modules. And so that was probably the biggest challenge so far for me today. So one module is called Who's the King of Glory? That's kind of safe. Actually, it's not. Who Are You? The wildest one that I had the toughest time in my own belief system to deliver, I did a module 5, it's called Flying. And so the flying that I'm teaching on there is not flying in the spirit, it's not flying in your dreams, it's not flying any of those flyings. This is like you stepping out of your house, you wave goodbye to your husband or your boyfriend, and then you take off flying, and your neighbors are going, what? That's what I'm teaching, right? So, because we don't live by experience, we live by faith, right? And our God is awesome, and he wants you to tap into all of his awesomeness, because then you'll be fully fulfilled when you're fully you. But your life is hidden in him. It's not hidden in your parents. It's not hidden in your experiences. You need to play hide and seek. He's hidden your life in him. Remember, you can't know you until you know him. Okay? Anyway, so all that's there. So from 89 through now, so now I'm doing this university, and I'm equipping people. So I guess the target since the university has been to eliminate ignorance. Okay, so you're gonna be fully equipped to do your deal. But now it seems to me focusing on eliminating ignorance. So in 1 Corinthians 12:1, it says, my little notes here. And concerning spiritual things, brethren or sisterin or people, I do not wish you to be ignorant, okay? And so in this last 6-8 months, again, all the stuff that comes out of me will help you, but in this last 6 or 7 months, it's been like, okay, you're being helped, but now it's like, okay, we're going to remove ignorance. Now, ignorance is resident in your soul, okay? So your mind, will, and emotion. So there's ignorance there, and there's pockets, and those got to go, right? And we'll teach on that a little bit. But this last weekend, I taught on the soul of man, and that just, I was amazed at what was, one, how valuable and precious and a treasure our soul is, but even more so what the definition of our soul is. And I was like going, what? And I mean, like, our mind is designed to, as a storage vessel, not a thinking vessel. You think from your heart, but your mind stores all the stuff. It stores it so that you can, in the midst of the situation, have a response ready. But what's happened is we've programmed or stored the wrong responses in our brain so that when someone slaps you, your response is, you better hit them back. That's not God. It may be okay. It may be God, but that which you stored is, you know, do unto others as you want do unto you, and you hit back. But if we're led by the Spirit, it's not necessarily what's been programmed in our brain. Our will is designed to be submitted to the Lord's will so we can exercise or execute that which he has placed in us, right? And our emotions are designed to be the fire, the fervency. Our spirit is really cool and very happy and alive and one with God. But the desire, the passion, comes from your emotions. And so that's why Jesus came to heal our broken heart, so that our emotions could be used as, our emotions are already a flame. But when you get the flame and the Holy Spirit blowing on that, that becomes a blaze, right? And that blaze makes you just like the all-consuming fire, right? So if you've got, if you're extra sensitive or like me, no emotions, no emotions bad, high emotions bad, but emotions fueled by the oxygen or the breath of God, awesome. Effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Effective is your mind right. Fervent is that burning, right? And then the righteousness is what we are, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can't be you without all of Him, okay? And so that's the intro, and we're about to get into the message, okay? So you've heard that scripture a lot. Well, I'm assuming you have, and if you haven't, you will now. So, oh, and also, if you want my notes, you know, say, hey, send me your notes, you can have those too. Proverbs 25:2, that wonderful scripture about it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. The title of this message is called The Journey. And just today, when I was looking at the scripture again, it was like, oh, searching out a matter is what we're designed to do. When you pursue Him with your heart, so you've already got Him. So it's not about, I want more of you. No, you have all of Him. So if you need, so in Colossians 1, chapter 1 and chapter 2, you will find out and understand and hopefully believe that the whole Godhead dwells inside of you. It came in. And so it's not about catching Him. It's more about learning the Galatians 2:20. The life I live by faith in the Son of God. You know, I no longer live, so you're not like thrown out. But the life that you think you're living, this existence, the thing when you came out of mom and you were raised for, you know, that isn't really the real you. That's a big part of you, but not the full you, okay? The full you is, okay, I'm now here, came out of mom, I got a purpose, I got, you know, use the words, we got a destiny, I got a scroll, I got a mountain, pick your favorite word, you got it, but you need to understand it, okay? And that's where sometimes we stop. We go, I've got a mountain! I got a scroll! Okay, open your scroll, explore your mountain, walk out your destiny. I was so happy to have a destiny, I thought, yay, box checked, whew, I can coast. No! It just starts then, right? So, the searching out of matter is this journey that we get to live. And it's the best living life compared to people who don't know they're on a journey, who don't know that the King of all wants to journey with them, that we get the privilege of finding ourselves in Him. And that's the fun thing. You know, when you remove the fear part, it's fun, right? So, the part of eliminating ignorance that's going to happen along the way, the part of understanding that, okay, I've heard that verse 3,000 times. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. Why is He hiding things from me? Why can't you just make it plain and simple? Well, because you wouldn't accept it. But the glory of kings is a search out of matter. When you start looking to understand, when you start looking to see, when you start beholding, when you choose to know that He has something for you, not hiding, but secured for you, because, you know, His revelations are treasures, right? You're a treasure, and if your new life is in Him, He's holding that life there so you can come and appreciate the value of who you are and go, wow, I love me now because You love me, and now that I love me, I can go do stuff. But if you have issues of, why do You make me this way? How come I didn't live in Ecuador? How come? You're living off the journey and into a ditch. So get out of the ditch, and we're going to be kings by choice, because He's the King of Kings, and we're going to search out what's the matter, not the matter with me, what's the matter for me, okay? So that's our journey. Any questions on the intro? Oh, and I'm way interactive, right? So there's not a time that you can't ask me a question, right? And it doesn't have to be about what I just said. It can be about whatever popped in your head, okay? So ask, and don't just go, well, what was that scripture again? You can ask those, but whatever pops in your head, you're allowed to ask. And it's good not only for you, but it's good for those who'll be listening to this call later on. I've learned this last year, that there are questions that you that drop into you that aren't for you. The question you ask is for somebody else. Okay? We're a body. We need each other. So the person who's afraid to ask the question, your boldness will ask the question, not for you, not for your answer, but for that person, or that person, or that person. Someone needs to know, and they're afraid to open up. Questions open you up for answers, right? So maybe your question is going to open up that person who needs that equipment, that revelation, so they can finish their journey and run their race. So never hold back a question, okay? For any time you go, whatever meeting you go to, ask that question, okay? So, opportunity to be a servant of the Most High God to ask a question for you or somebody else, if you have one. Now, you can make some up. I went to one meeting, I actually started praying for questions because I was realizing how valuable a question is. So I was like, God, give me a good question. Give me one that cracks open open my head and their head. Let just change, open. Questions are portals. You ask the right question, things can rush in, right? Anyway, so the culture of heaven is a lot of questions. God asks questions. The whole thing in Job, the last chapter, we asked Job like 60 questions. Those questions were not to belittle him. Those questions were not to crush him. Those questions were to trigger him unto his real identity. And so when you think God's mean and evil, you go, when God says, where were you when I put the stars in heaven? You're like, I don't know, I don't forget. No, it was Job. Think, look at me, Job, eyes, look at me. What, Job, look. Remember, where were you when we put, Job, remember, we put the stars, remember? That's what God was doing. When the Lord asked in Genesis 1, Adam, where are you? It wasn't, Adam, where are you? It was, Adam, I think in the wrong place. Do you know where you are? Because you can be corrected if you open yourself up. Questions are a powerful tool the Lord uses. And you can use them too. Okay. Well, I have a chat thingy there. Does that mean there's a chat question? Let's go there. Check there. Yes, he was reassuring and comforting Job. Yes. Ding. You can stay in the class. Okay. Okay, am I talking too fast? You guys are stunned? Or we're nodding? We got thumbs? We got... Okay. All right, so we're now going to start. You got... And I told this to Carla. You guys are a unique group, not just the ones that are here. Because the scripture that he painted for me was like, I've looked at the scripture before, but never saw it for a people. You're a people, you're a tribe, okay? I'm now, this story, this parable that Jesus, it's Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. So Matthew 22, when Jesus is talking, he was actually thinking about your tribe. And so, this is a story about Jesus telling a story. I tell stories. So me and Jesus are a lot alike. It says in verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who gave a wedding banquet. So I'm not going to do verse by verse, but king gives a wedding banquet. Round 1, he says, hey, go get invited. I want everyone here. So round 1, people refuse to come. And then they come back. No one's coming. They don't want to come. So the king goes, try harder. And so round 2, it says, verse 5, but they were not concerned. They paid no attention. They ignored, and they made light of the invitation. So you can make a big case about that for people in evangelism. God so loved the world, and they're like, not concerned. They're paid no attention. We're not that group. Then round 3, he says, okay, go to the highways and byways and find anybody. Find everybody. Find somebody, you know. And that was round 3. Your tribe is round 3. Okay. You guys are round 3. Your tribe as an individual, as a whole, have responded to the invitation of the king. Okay. And so now you're attending right now in space and time. The tribe called, what do you guys call it again? Family, everlasting life. This tribe, whoever's associated with this, are now, you're the round three people, you've entered into this wedding banquet. So you've joined the party, right? And you're all excited. We're the party. We know stuff. We do stuff. Yay! And when the Lord showed, I was like, I could see these people like going, I was like, why are they so happy? I mean, I'm happy. I'm not that happy. And I saw the room. It's almost like I almost saw the picture or your Facebook photo. It was like that room, but the photo's not moving. But in my mind's eye, vision, whatever, it was moving. And I saw groups of people that were. And the cool thing was, everyone was excited. There was no one in there not excited. But you were excited by different things. And I know, naturally, you know, you guys started off with one of Kirby's deals, you know. So there were groups who were like, immortality! And you're all excited, you know. So there's pockets of this people living and walking in Revelation. And I was like going, they don't need me. I think they're okay. I mean, they're... Because usually when you park on a Revelation, you start a church and a denomination, and then you die. But it was manifest life. Y'all were living and breathing the revelations that the Father has revealed to you. Because when you're walking with the Lord, it's not about everyone seeing and knowing the same thing. What the living thing is, everyone was interacting with the Lord. Okay, and I was watching that. I was like, man, that's pretty cool. I must have missed a good conference. So I started feeling pity party for myself. But anyway, so then I went back to the vision. I was like, okay. Then he gave me the scripture, and I go, okay, so they're round three. And he goes, you got to help them out. I'm thinking, they look pretty good to me. So round three, which is verse 9, says, so go to the thoroughfares where they leave the city, where the main roads, yada, yada, yada. And say, get them. And it says they got both the bad and the good. So the room in which the wedding feast was held was filled with guests. I saw the room. And y'all were the guests, right? There might have been other people, but this is for you. Okay. But here's the part that this message is all about. But when the king came to view the guest, he looked intently at the man there who had no wedding garment. Okay. So I was like going, what's the big deal? He's in the party, right? And I'm thinking, God, he's in the building. He's accepted your invitation. He's engaged. And the king's amongst you. And so I'm thinking, it's okay. But it goes on and says, friend, if he calls him friend, who wants to be a friend of the king? And the king is God, right? Well, that's good. I'm going, yay. How did you come in here without putting on the appropriate wedding garment? And it says here, and he was speechless, and the Amplified says, muzzled and gagged. This is not good. Then he goes and gets thrown out. So I was going like, well, God, I'm not going to tell them that they're naked and not wearing the right garments. That's not what you're saying, is it? And he said, nope. Well, I'm not going to tell them that they did a good thing. They received the invitation. They're in the midst of the joy, in the midst of the life. That's pretty good. What's the garment you got to do? The garment is your equipment to live this life, okay? And so you don't earn garments. You're given garments. Garments are mantles. Garments are gifts. Garments are mindsets. Garments are everything you need from the king to enjoy life, okay? They're his promises. There are lots of things, but it's nothing you can earn, but you have to put them on, okay? You have to engage in whatever he's giving you. If you looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it says a natural man doesn't appreciate the gifts of God. Well, you're not natural. But something about we can come into the party and act like we're not in the party, okay? And that's not a good thing. And you've seen in the natural, you've seen people come to a birthday party, which is a joyous thingy, and they'd be depressed, right? Even if it's their own party, and it's not good. Not that the thing on their mind isn't important, but the thing, the one who's in the room is more important, okay? So the garments that are here, so when you read that scripture, you know, in the natural, you're going like, and the king said to tie him hand and foot. What? Throw him into darkness outside. There will be weeping and grinding of teeth. So then if you think of God that way, you're like, I can't read the scripture. But what that is, the parable is, that's extreme That's an extreme outcome of living without the garments. Okay? It's not God doesn't like you. God says, here's all you need. Here it is. And if you go, I got this party. I'm cool. Okay. You've chosen not to live like I want to. You want to. You're living your way. The results of your way are bondage, tied hand and foot. The results of your life are living in darkness. That's ignorance. There are people at the party of the tribe who are like this, who are bumping in going, I really like immortality. I really like knowing my identity. But they've not put on their garments. They've not done what he's asked them to do. Now, this is not about heaven and hell, right? This is about the living the fullest life possible. And the garments is a garment that fits you. So it's not like, all right, I have a revelation of flying, and I'm flying. Okay, good for the flyer. Okay, God gave you the ability, and you're doing it. Woohoo! Now, don't get pride in that. Put on what he says, put on. You're called to put on righteousness. You're called to put on Jesus, right? I used to say decades ago that there are people, Christians, who are trying to live the Christian life without Christ. It's impossible, okay? There are believers who are saved, but they are God blew into Adam, and then in the Old Testament, everyone in the Jewish tradition realized that breath of God is the Spirit of God, and the breath of God is your source of life. Okay, so no one, if you were tight with God, you lived in His breath, right? You actually said, His breath is in my nostrils. That was a common phrase. They go, you got His breath? I got it right here. But there was another way to live too. You could live your life with your own breath, okay? And that's what's happening in our churches. We're living according to our own strong spirit, our own strong soul. In my journal, I need to find this again, but in my journal, one of my journals, I have this bad habit of starting and not finishing. Anyway, so in one of my journals, halfway through, you can find, dear soul, no matter how clean you get, how much you renew yourself, how many scriptures you memorize, you're not designed to lead me. I am to be led by my new spirit. Now, it will be good for you if you would submit to my spirit. Really, really, really. I know you've been in charge for a long time, but you need to submit to my spirit. You know, you need to know who you are and know who you are on the inside, right? So again, this man made a great choice. He's called friend by God, right? So there's a relationship there. And so somewhere between outside and inside, there was a robe laid out there, freely given, freely there. I'm sure it fit him perfectly, but he chose not to do it the Father's way. He chose to do it his own way and thought it was okay. Tribe, it's not okay. Okay? Okay? It's not okay. Because if you live your own way, you'll get your own consequences. And that's bondage. Okay? You lose the authority of your mouth. Your words will no longer be life, spirit and life. They'll be death. You know in your mouth you have the power of life and death, right? In your tongue. If you put the garments on His way of life, it'll be life and spirit, always. Not one day you're cussing, one day you're cursing, next day you're worshiping. That is not the way we're called to live. Because we've not put on His righteousness. We have not put on the mind of Christ. We got to put something on, right? Okay? Are we good with that so far? Right? So the rest of this message is going to be talking about, okay, we're in the kingdom, okay? But while I'm in the kingdom, I still have an option. I can live His way or my way. And the rest of this message is about His way, okay? Because we already know our ways. I already confessed earlier that I watch a lot of movies. In The Man of Steel, which came out in 2013, you know, another Superman movie, here's this line here from Clark Kent's Father on Earth. It says this, somewhere out there, you have another Father. And He sent you here for a reason. And even if it takes you the rest of your life, you owe it to yourself to find out what that reason is. And that quote's in my upcoming book, because when I heard that in the movie theater, I was like, oh my gosh, I have a heavenly Father and an earthly Father. My heavenly Father and my earthly Father do things always on purpose, right? But a lot of us don't know what that purpose is. And then we wait and sit back and go, well, I guess if He wants me to know it, He'll just throw it at me. Or I'll get a revelation, or an angel will walk through the door. And so that's passive. We're not supposed to live passive, okay? We're not passive. We're not victims. We're victorious. And so I would use this quote out of Jonathan, in the movie, Jonathan Kent is Clark Kent's father. And I just thought it was very relevant. We cannot stay at the wedding banquet as we are. We have to let Him clothe us, let Him change us, let Him have His way with you. In the natural, according to Clark Kent's deal, we can't just sit there and go, somebody dress me, or dress myself. No, put on what He's provided. But here, when you don't know, don't stay in ignorance. Especially when you have a Father who says, come to me. Okay? The door is open. Matter of fact, Revelation chapter 3. I stand at the door and knock. Right? If anyone would invite me in, you know, I learned at King James, like, come in and sup is have a meal. But, so, you know, that's a good segue. So what I'm talking about here is we've come into the banquet thingy, you know, we're here, some of us have got some garments on. I'm saying you need a lot of garments, you know, because a lot of things you're called to do, a lot of things that you need healing of, a lot is going on here. So just don't settle for being invited to the banquet. Yay, I'm going to heaven, woohoo! There's more to life, right? So, other movie. So a movie came up this year. Who saw Wonder Woman? One, two. Is that a finger? What are you doing? Who saw Wonder Woman more than once? Come on, folks. Come on. I saw it twice already. I got to go see it another two more times, right? You only saw it once? Go see it twice. Once is not enough, right? So here's a line that you didn't get from the movie, but it's there. Progressive revelation is required for continuous victory. In her life, she went from, I'm an Amazon. I'm an Amazon who's been trained. I'm an Amazon who's better than these men. But when she left the trench to go save that town, which was against all reasoning, all common, whatever, she knew she could, and then stepped out on it, right? And that's amazing. But as the movie went on, when she fought the other god in the movie, she knew more about herself in that scene, and more power came out of her. If she had the same power in the trench scene, she would have taken out that village in 5 seconds and not as long as it took, right? And you too, the more revelation you walk in, the more you can walk in. To the one who's been given, more will be given to. But this, again, this is not passive. You cannot just join the tribe and go, I'll be transfigured. You got to join the tribe and do whatever the Holy Spirit says, right? So we're going to move from just, you got to understand these worlds that we're in. We need to have a better revelation of the invisible and the interior, okay? We need to be able to see the unseen, right? We're not going to talk about that, but that's a world we need to be more mature in. But we're going to talk about the interior world, right? This inner room, this inner man. And I want to start with the fact that we've heard the scripture all our lives, hopefully. Luke 17, verse 21. Hey, where's the kingdom of God? Show me the kingdom of God. And Jesus, hello, it's within you. Now, the first time I heard that, I thought nothing. I was like, I don't know what that means. There's no palace in there. There's no horses. There's no stable. There's no long table. I'm thinking the medieval thing here. And so I couldn't picture a palace and lands and towers and armies, all that in me. But Jesus said that. So there you go. So, but I watch a lot of sci-fi. And so if you watch Doctor Who, Doctor Who's got this little telephone booth that's so small. If you open it up, it's just like stuff. If you haven't seen Doctor Who, then more things to see Wonder Woman one more time and watch the BBC program Doctor Who. Okay. So, but we have to, if we will believe the king, if the king says you have the kingdom within you, you need to go, I don't understand, but yes. Okay. If you say, I don't understand, and yes, then you apply Revelation chapter 3, I stand on the door and knock, so that I can give you a tour of the kingdom inside of you. I can tell you what's behind that door. What? Yeah, behind that door is all these gifts that you need, the extra armor, the mind of Christ. Let me show you how this kingdom works. Let me show you how to operate all this stuff. And stop blaming me for things where you don't have it. You don't have it because you're not using that tool I gave you. Well, I thought once I came into the wedding feast, into the kingdom, that he would. He wants to. He's knocking. He wants to show you what is in the kingdom that's inside of you. It's not outside. This is not ascending up. This is inside. Now, this is a weird thing. Well, the Bible says, look on high. The on high and the kingdom is within you. Okay? Colossians chapter 2, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are within you. Now you go, well, how is he on the throne in the place of worship and inside of me? I don't know. Don't go there. Go here. He's fully equipped you, but you need to, it's like when you're younger and someone gave you car keys, you're like, what do I do with these? You need someone to show you how to use the equipment. You need someone to show you who you are. Okay? So, if there's a kingdom inside of me, because Jesus said so, and Jesus is inside of me, but why did he say, I'm knocking at the door, let me in, while you said he's already inside? Is Wally double-minded? Is he a trickster? Is he confusing you? How can Jesus be on the inside and also knocking on the outside? Because it's up to you to engage or not engage. Your will. Someone said a long time ago, you can have as much of God as you want. It's your choice. If you want to know the Father, you need to, Psalm 24, lift up your head, O you gates, and let the King of Glory come in. This is you saying, I want you more than my understanding. Okay? Because you cannot comprehend. I mean, if you can, you're awesome. How can you comprehend the kingdom of God's in you, God's in you, Ecclesiastes, eternity in my heart? What does that mean, right? Well, it means something, but the one who knows what it means for you uniquely is the Father who loves you, who wants to tell you about it. But will you take the time and say, this is the waiting upon the Lord. This is like, Lord, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, I've got a kingdom in here. I've got a scroll in here. I've got stuff. What do I do with this stuff? Well, the temptation is to look outside and go, well, there's someone got some stuff. Look what they're doing with it. It's easier to look outside and watch other people playing with their gifts and toys and their calling, their destiny, and think that you can learn from them. You can learn something from them, but it's not what they're doing. I know what they're doing, so don't judge them and don't even learn from them, because you have the best teacher who's wants to talk to you. Well, I'd rather enjoy a Zoom teaching with Carla, because she's an awesome teacher, and she is. But that's dealing with external life. There is so much inside of you that you need to explore. This is the journey, okay? This is the journey I'm talking about. This is putting on your hiking boots and following the Spirit, because those who are led of the Spirit are sons of God, not those who join the party. Those who join the tribe are tribe joiners, not growing progressively in understanding and revelation and becoming who they're called to be. It's not even becoming, it's realizing He's made you, right? We get so busy trying to change, and the Father's going like, I already changed you. What? No, you didn't. I look the same. I think the same. No, you're thinking too much. You're thinking something else. The scripture about this brainy thing here. Colossians 1:21, King James. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So a lot about how you think about stuff needs to be, we all need to be reprogrammed. The Amplified says, and although at one time you were estranged and alienated from him and were of hostile attitude of mind. Okay? So, when the thought comes, you read the scripture, the kingdom of God is not over here, it's not food and drink, it's da-da-da-da. Your mind goes, I'll tell you what the kingdom of God is. Okay? Your mind wants to be in control and define stuff. When you say that, I am weak, he is strong, he knows stuff I don't know, but he's willing to share, then he can replace your understanding or your hostile attitude to the supernatural. Your ignorance is a hostile attitude. Your lack of knowledge is a hostile attitude. You think you know something. You don't know something. He knows something. And so, and this is this big word called, you can know from your head knowledge, from reason and logic, or you can know from your heart. And the heart word is cardiogenosis. Don't try to pronounce it, just do it. There's the ability to live and think from your heart. It's thinking from the inner man. It's understanding that, wait a minute, my point of origin isn't when I was born 55 years ago. My point of origin is when I started trusting. Okay, when I started recognizing the truth, when I started believing the truth, when I started going like, okay, I don't know how it fits in there, but the kingdom of God's inside of me, and eternity's in my heart, and God's in there, and. Okay, now that you guys are there, what do we do? Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless we agree? You've got to agree with there's garments. You got to agree with there's a kingdom. You got to agree there's a king. You got to agree that you have to agree with the truth. Once you start agreeing with the truth, then you can go do it. Once you start agreeing with the truth, you can go be it. This is not about understanding. Understanding is optional. And I would tell you, if you wait to understand, you're going to wait a long time. Matter of fact, I think you won't get it. If you choose to wait to understand something, you're not going to do it. You're not going to be it for sure. Thoughts, questions?
I have a question.
Yes. Yay.
What about when it says, in all you're getting, get understanding?
Good for you. So, when it says that, so when Jesus is saying, hey, I want to explain something to you, he is wisdom, right? So get him wisdom. He's also truth. I need truth and wisdom. Some people think wisdom is the interpretation, the proper application of the truth. Whatever it is, we need him. So he's wisdom. Or you go, well, is the spirit of wisdom wisdom? Okay. You need something that's not you. Okay. Now, when my first book I wrote is called The Introduction of the Seven Spirits of God. And one of them is the spirit of wisdom. So you go, okay, who do I pick? Spirit of wisdom or Jesus? I always go with Jesus, and if he wants to introduce me to the Spirit of Wisdom or a smart angel or a guy in white linen or somebody else, then it's better when he picks than me pick. You understand? And that's why that scripture there about in all you're getting, get wisdom, as in get what he is thinking, get what he is saying, get what he is directing you to do, not get what's available. Okay? There's a lot of things available, but not necessarily useful at that time. It's a timing thing, right? It's like when you go to a conference and everyone comes out with, I know who I am, and you come up with, I love myself. And then you go, and you compare notes. You go, oh, I guess I missed the revelation. No! You got wisdom, which is applicable for you because you needed to walk in loving you. They got the who they are, and it's okay, right? Does that help? Yes, no?
I think so.
Okay. We can go deeper or wider or longer or what?
Well, just, you know, like the way my mind is God made is it helps me when I have an understanding of how things work.
Yep.
And then I just go full force with it. So
you ever done
applying
that,
it to it? Go ahead.
You ever done that game where you turn your back to a person or two and you're supposed to fall back in their arms?
Yeah.
I hate that game. Okay, because I don't understand if they're going to be there, right? So in the kingdom, the Lord says, hey, give that girl a word. I'm like, if you give me understanding, I'll do it. In the beginning of my walk, I remember the first word I ever gave. I was a sophomore in college. I just learned about the gifts of the Spirit, right? Colonel Gira was a phenomenal Bible teacher. It was the first time I had the gifts explained, right? Now, the other thing about Colonel Gira, his wife made great cookies and brownies and cupcakes. So, after the teaching, we had fellowship time, right? So, I'm drinking and eating, and I have a word for the girl across the room, right? And the word was, she's having, her and her best friend are having a problem, okay? And so, okay, I've got the word. I understand the word, right? And I walk over there, my first delivery. And I go, excuse me. And I knew her, you know, it was our Bible study group. And I go, hey, I believe you and your friend are having a problem. And you guys should, I don't know, make up. She turned to me and goes, no, we don't. We're good. All good. No problem here. Well, I was like, I pivoted, walked to the corner of the room. I didn't cuss. I never learned to cuss. But I'm in the corner of the room telling God to never talk to me again. Never use me. How dare you embarrass me? See, I was basing my activity on my understanding. Got that? So I'm over in the corner going like, I can't believe. You don't have to do that. Why don't you give me something that... And I'm doing this, the hands, the movement, and someone taps me on the shoulder. It's the girl. And I'm like, what do you want now? Because, you know, she's now caused me to be mad at God. I whip around, what do you want? And she goes, well, now that you think about it, me and my best friend are having a problem. I'm like, are you out of your mind? I'm cussing God out because you didn't respond. If you base your actions off of your understanding, you'll miss it. If you base your action off of people, you'll miss it. You have to grow in trust where even when they don't know the truth, you know.
Okay, so we are talking about two different things because
kind of.
I get it now.
Okay.
I get it now.
Okay.
Because when I say understanding, I mean just the mechanics of how things work in the spirit realm and stuff.
Yeah.
But as far as trusting, I don't have to understand when God says something for me to move on it. So I get what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
But even as you start this past, what's going on? On 5 years ago, I said to my wife, I'm going to stop thinking. She just started laughing. She just laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. Because I'm a heavy thinker, right? And I think so much. I when God wants to tell me something, I go, hold on, I'll get it first, and I'll compare what you're going to tell me. Really wrong. Don't do that. And so my wife's laughing. I go, hey, I'm trying to submit to the Lord and do it His way instead of second-guessing Him, right? She said, you're never going to be able to. I said, I know I may not be able to do it, but I'm going to try to do it, okay? She just laughed. And maybe a few months later, I had this vision. And it's in my first book. And in the vision, I see a paper shredder, you know? You all know those shred, shred, shred. But on the paper shredder is a brain. And since it's very bloody, so the brain is being shredded, okay? And I realize the brain is my brain. And obviously, there's got to be a demon involved because, you know, that's my brain, and this is gross, right? And I've seen too many horror movies, but I'm watching this brain get shredded, and I know it's my brain. And so I'm like going like, hey, where are my angels at? We gotta rescue the brain, you know, and put it back together and whatever. So the brain, I see the brain go from this down to, so the whole container's full, right? So I'm trying to call for help or whatever. Someone takes the container and pours it into three garbage bags. And I'm like going, why is the enemy allowed to do this, you know? And I know all this stuff, and I know warfare, and this enemy is just having a field day, you know, taking the brain, shredded it, and now put it in three garbage bags. So I'm looking in the garbage bags, and three of them, and then I see these letters appear on the garbage bags. I see a K, then an N, then an O, then a W, then an L, then an E, then a D, then a G, then an E. I was like going, what's that spell? Knowledge. And I'm like going, so what's that mean? And then I knew, since it's my brain, my knowledge, I'm like, well, now that I have a revelation of what's going on here, I can call for the, you know, the enemy must return, and I'm casting and I'm binding and all this stuff. As I'm doing that, three angels, not demons, come and get the bags. And I'm now real confused. Why are these angels? They must be fallen angels. But I know they're not fallen angels. So one angel gets one bag, and there's three angels, got the bags. And I'm thinking they're going to take them back to the Restore My Mind group, someplace, wherever that is. But they're not flying. They're flying that way, and it seemed to be the wrong way. So I'm thinking, like, take it back to the house, to the kingdom or something, you know. But they go this way, and they drop the bags into a furnace. And I'm like, what the, now, in the thing, I'm cussing, and I don't cuss. I'm going, what the blank, you know, and I'm like, I'm mad at everything. Everything in the kingdom, I'm mad at the angels for sure. I'm mad at God because they're His angels. And I'm like, what do you think you're doing? Now, when you talk out of your heart, it goes right to God. So, you know, He knows your thoughts. And I'm like, what were you doing with that? He goes, and it was so funny. Well, it's funny now. It wasn't funny then. I was hot. He goes, great. Now we have room for revelation. I said, no, we don't. That was revelation. And I said, surely there's something to be redeemed or not burned. I had a year of Bible school. I had lots of conferences. And why did that need to go in the furnace, right? That's good, right? And he was like, we've got room for revelation. And I'm like, I saw years of my life just in flames, right? And I'm going like, and he's telling me, this is good. And I'm going like, no, it's not. And it took me probably, I don't know, a few months to believe what he said. This is good. We now have room for revelation. Now, in my mind, I thought the knowledge I had from the Bible was revelation. Okay? And he went on in the 2 months to explain to me that what you had was okay, but what I have for you is way better. And I could not conceive that this good, great stuff could be so low compared to what he had to me, right? And so at some point, I threw up my hands and went, fine. Now, I didn't believe him. It was kind of like, ugh, because I couldn't get it back. But I knew I had a choice. I could believe that there was a better, or have a pity party for I don't know how long, you know. But I wasn't getting that back, you know. And I could have whined about it longer. I whined for a long time. Matter of fact, for years after that, whenever I read out of my book, I would feel the hurt. I'd feel the loss. I'd feel the regret. I'd feel the anger. I thought, I'm not healed of this yet, you know. But what I'm saying, though, is there is so much. I mean, what we have is good, and we think it's awesome, and it may be. But when the Father says, let me have that, there's a reason. When he says, put this on, take that off, there's a reason. And it's beyond our reason, right? I'm really good when he says, okay, when you do this, this will happen. I'm way obedient on that, right? And I really love the mechanics of stuff, right? But when he says, do that, and I go, can you tell me why? And he does it, I'm like, if you just show me a little bit. And he's like, nope. And now, at my point, he doesn't even like say nope. It's like, okay. I'm learning to love him, which means I learn to trust him, which means he's smarter than I am. And he's got a plan worked out here. Okay, he's got this. And I'm like, so again, maybe it's like 5 years ago when I started this, okay, I'm not going to think, you know, I'm going to trust. Last year, a friend of mine, she wanted to go on a fast, right? And she had never fasted before. And she calls me up and says, hey, I want to fast. How do I fast? I think I really need to fast, you know. I said, well, you just don't eat. Well, I know I just don't eat. Is there anything else? So I'm teaching her about fasting, right, on the phone. And then I think she either goes to get some paper, take down notes, or she's going to go do something. So while I'm waiting on the phone for her, and I told her a story about one of the first times I fasted, and I think that's a good story. That helped her out, right? So she goes off to get something, and I'm waiting there. And so the story I told her about my fast was back in 1980, you know, early, you know, and last year was 2016. And so as I'm waiting on the phone, the Lord says, should I tell you why you fasted back in 1980? I'm like, I know why I fasted in 1980. I fasted because a friend of mine, I was working at a Christian sports camp, and another younger Christian wanted to fast. And I tried to explain to her that you need a purpose, you need to prepare to fast. Because we were serving spaghetti, and I'm thinking, the Wally rules of fasting is you don't, in the middle of eating, you don't start a fast. You prepare for a fast. So, and I used that story to tell about, you know, you got to prepare. But I did, you know, after spaghetti, I did fast with my new friend because she was just, I need someone to fast with me. And so my motivation then wasn't just to work. It was to help my friend out. So I was sharing this early story on fasting with my friend who left the phone. And the Lord goes, can I tell you now why you fasted? And I'm like, I was there. I don't know where you were. I was there. Spaghetti. Da, da, da. So I go through it all over again. And he says, nope, you fasted in 1980 for this moment right now. And I went, what? My mind went, you know. And I remember sitting back going, I fasted in 1980, the summer of 1980, so that the girl who's talking about fasting would be ready to talk. And I was like, I don't understand. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, matter of fact, if I had told you then, would you have fasted? Nope. I I barely fasted to help my friend out. He goes, that's why I can't tell you everything, because you won't do it. I was like, huh, all right, tell me when you want to, you know. So this whole thing about knowledge exchange and obedience in life is a whole big deal. But there's two ways to think, out of your heart and out of your mind. And I'm saying there's more on this journey that you're on. There's more, you have access to more from your heart than you do from your head, okay? I'm still learning to believe that, because 2 months ago, I didn't believe that, right? I'm like, okay, it's good to have a healthy heart, you know, but we know where it's all about, the mind of Christ. I'm pointing up here, right? And I'm learning more and more that, okay, you really do want me to see things as you see them. And so in this year, just this last few months, I'm starting to know things, but I'm not knowing them by the way I naturally think. I've got a great brain. I like my brain. I'm thinking it does a lot of good stuff. But recently, I'm getting this, I can't explain. It's like I normally process, I bring facts together, I have an answer. But now it's like I'm skipping the process and I have an answer. And I'll look at it and go, that's an answer. How did that come to be? And I'll try to backward engineer the answer to figure out how I got to it. And it's not from me. It's out of me, but not from me. And it's really weird. I still haven't got words for it, but it's weird. So, but the invisible world and the interior world, you journey those by revelation. And the revelation is what in Matthew 16, when Jesus says, Peter, flesh and blood, brain, did not reveal it to you, but my Father who is in heaven made it known to you. So I'm learning to, I use the bad word, tap into that, right? But it's for everybody. It's not just for anyone who gets invited, who accepts the invitation to come to the wedding feast, who accepts the invitation to come to the Father's house. There are garments there for you to go and live that way, okay? And it's a way that you don't know. It's a way you can't figure out, even though I'm trying really hard to figure it out. But it's not there. It's just, here you go. I'm like, well, I got to do something, right? Nope. Put it on. So let's talk about the blood and righteousness, how it's covered me, appreciation. Anyway, put it on. Well, let me first process it. Put on the garments, you know. So he's into new stuff. But you have an outer life, you have an inner life. And again, you have access to everything you need if you live from the inside. Okay. Thoughts? Okay, no thoughts. So, hopefully, the word kainos, the Greek word, which means new, which means unused, which means never seen before on the planet Earth, and I've been living off of that for about 5 years, only out of 2 Corinthians 5:17. So I got my little Greek and linear and stuff, you know. So I'm a new creation, Christ is new, kainos new. I even have several tapes that, you know, I've got a new term called kainos sapien. And so I've been beating up the word kainos off of 2 Corinthians 5:17 just ruthlessly, you know. But for y'all, the tribe, I found three other places kainos is used that just blew my mind this week. So I'm going to talk kind of quickly through staying in kainos, becoming kainos, and living kainos. Now remember, at a bare minimum, the word kainos means new, okay? But it's new, never, it's like never unwrapped before new, right? So when you became a new creation in Christ Jesus, you were never seen before on the planet. You weren't of Adam. You weren't the last Adam. You're of something brand new. You are a new species, right? That's how God sees us. I go, I'm still 6'1". I'm still, you know. He's like, nah, you're new. So I can choose to believe what I think I am or choose to go, can you help me grasp who you see me as, right? And he's into new, right? And not just improve. I mean, I've got a teaching out there called something 2.0. Anyway, so the new thing. So I'm going to give three scriptures. So the first one, staying kindness, staying new. What does that mean? 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this, therefore we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, and worried out through fear. And that you, I could teach on that for a long time. The power of fear, it drives your spirit man out. You get exhausted physically and spiritually depressed. Don't do that. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, so don't park there. Yet our inner self is being progressively renewed. That word renewed is kainos, day by day. Every day, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus, Holy Spirit, they are making your inner man new. To so much so that in Matthew 17, where Jesus goes bright white, it's because the power of God that they're making and churning inside of you is being released. If you let them come in and let them have their way, they will do what the scripture says. Your inner self is being made new day after day. What does that even mean? How can I be newer than new? Well, his mercies are new every morning, and you get to be new every morning. And if you believe that, you'll have the same kind of encounters that Jesus had. When he's in his realm, he is bright light. In his realm, talking to Moses and Elijah is not a big deal. Okay? In his realm, the Father is always encouraging and saying, this is my son, y'all should be listening, you know. You as individuals you're listening, and the group should be listening. Not to the teacher, the speaker, but to him. Okay. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Since this is true, that they're actively renewing you. And it's kind of, my only imagination I can get on that is the whole thing about, you know, we're the pot, he's the potter. Okay, he's constantly working with me. He's moving me, he's adding the water, the Holy Spirit, and he's molding me and shaping me, molding me and shaping me, molding me and shaping me. My new definition of your soul is the part of you that is moldable and shapeable. Your spirit becomes one with God. You're one, right? Your soul needs to be shaped. And the Father says, I'm Ephesians 2:10, you are my workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. He's forming and shaping me, my soul, making me awesome. Right? He's making me new every day. So, the Greek word is two words. It's anakinos. A and A means up. Kinos means fresh, new, unused, novel. You are so unique. You don't know how unique you are. Right? I don't know how unique you are. But you are uber unique. Right? So that's You are in perpetual newness. You are perpetually now, which freaks me out. I'm like, okay, I cannot fathom that. I'm learning to believe that, right? And I'm going, okay, I believe it. Okay, what's that mean? I don't know, but yes. What do they see? I don't know, but yes. Okay? So don't get caught up in you understanding. Don't get caught up with their seeing. Just get caught up. Okay? So, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ. Wow, engrafted. You know, look at the whole plant thingy. You're growing in Jesus. He's growing in you. He is a new creation. Kainos creation. A new creature altogether. It's that word, I know one couple. They have their own little book, which is basically their notes that is on the kindness thing. The new birth, the new you is unexplainable. The new you is so new, it's not the you that came out of the womb. Right? It's this new. But I'm going like, well, I look the exact same. We're talking about your inner man. We're talking about that which is invisible to you. We're talking about what he uses all the time. And I was pondering this, and some of the stuff you just got to just ponder, you know. As I was pondering, I said, okay, God, if you're renewing me every day, making me new, what material do you use to make me new? And then in my head popped, well, I told you, I put eternity in your heart. I go, is eternity a substance? Are you molding me with eternity? What does that mean? And I went tilt and said, I can't think about it anymore. And I went back to preparing this. But what if, I mean, the materials that the Father uses, we know this scripture someplace in Psalms or Proverbs that he knit us in the mother's womb. What did he knit us with? You know, was it yarn, right? And so what materials does the Father have access to? A lot. And so I'm just saying, let him do his deal, right? There's a scripture somewhere in there, I taught on King of Glory, that there's a thing called glorification. You know, I was like, glorification? That's in the Bible? I would have made that up, but God already made it up for me. But it's his glory in you, on you, around you, and conferred upon you. And I'm like, that's the process of glorification? Wow, I don't know what that is, but I like it and I want it, right? Living kinos. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. We all know that. Don't be fashioned after or adapted to this external, superficial customs. But be transformed. Yes, we want to be transformed. Be changed by the entire renewal of your mind. That renewal there is kinos again. And I'm like going, oh my gosh, I'm barely understanding kinos for me. And now it's kinos for my inner self that you're doing it. And now I can live with a new mind. You can make my mind new. Okay. And so I'm learning that I have this mind in Christ. And I have this mind that I grew up with. And I'm learning that it's not good for me to be double-minded, right? To give value to the old mind and try to guess what the new mind is doing. My best movie illustration for this is a 2003 movie called The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise. And Tom Cruise has been captured by these samurai. And in this scene, he's now kind of semi-friend with them. He's trying to figure out this culture. And he's fighting with the top swordsman in the camp. And they've said, you know, as soon as winter's over, we'll take you back. So he's trying to make do with his time there. So he's got a little wooden samurai. Well, it's kind of big wooden thing. And he's fighting this guy, and he's losing, you know, because he's, you know, he is a non-samurai, non-Japanese, nice white pasty guy fighting against someone who grew up samurai. So that, right. So he's losing, and the other samurai guys are betting on him, like he's going to lose, and they're betting, and they're taking odds, you know. They know he's going to lose, but how fast will he lose? So that's the bet, right? So he loses again, loses again, loses again, loses again, loses again. And the two kids whose house he's staying in, they don't say time out, but they meant time out. It comes over, and the guy says this, in his broken English. He says, to mind. And the first one off the movie, I was like going, what does that mean, to mind? And Tom Cruise goes, what? And the guy goes, to mind. Mind of earth. Mind of sword. Mind of people. To mind. Too many mind. And so Tom Cruise goes back with the sword, goes, too many mind. And then he gets the revelation. Okay. Don't think about the people. Don't. So now he fights the same guy. He's been kicking his butt. And this time, instead of getting beat, it becomes a draw. And the whole camp's like, what? How can the white guy be now as good as the best guy? Because he has one mind. And if you will walk in the mind of Christ, which is available to you, and me too, if you will not exalt your own ways so much, you will enjoy this journey, finish the journey, and be a blessing to all those around you. Okay? So, staying in kinos, 2 Corinthians 5, 4:16. Becoming kinos, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And have the kinos mind, that new mind, Romans 12:2. That's what's for your tribe. Those are the garments that you guys get to wear, shall wear, and you'll be looking good in your clothing. Fit for you. questions, thoughts, where you want to go. So I drink my Powerade. Powerade Zero. Na 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 na. You better talk or I'll point people out and say, Carla, say something.
Wallace, this is great. Thank you so much. My mind keeps going back to flying. I know it's probably where you've been, but I just keep writing it down. Like, I just want to know. Talk to me about that.
Well, it was a very interesting class. So let me give you the foundation of what triggered me. When I came back from New Zealand, I was in New Zealand in November for 2 weeks. Before I went to New Zealand, the Lord said, do the school. I went, hey, we got to work on New Zealand, because I didn't want to do the school. And so we went to New Zealand, came back, and it was like, I tried to avoid what he was talking about. But a friend of mine had watched Doctor Strange. And when I prepare to go someplace, I usually don't take a lot of things in. So I was going to watch Doctor Strange after New Zealand. So I watched after New Zealand. And that's an amazing movie. I've seen it only 3 times, but there's some stuff in there I can teach. But in that movie, Doctor Strange gets thrown into a different world where it's not about his materialistic thing and material touchy. He gets thrown into spirit realm. Freaky thing in the movie, when he gets thrown in the spirit realm, the places that he went that were shown in the movie, I'd seen those places in reality.
Me too.
No, me only, not you.
No.
I'm special. I'm special. Me. It's about me. It's all about me. So I'm recorded. It's about me. I have to remove you. How do I remove someone from the show? So, but cool. You know, so I'm freaking out going like, I've been there. I saw that. I'm in the theater going like this, going, I had no idea what these people were thinking around me, you know. But, so I watched it one time. I call my friend and go, hey, I saw the movie. Let's talk about it. And she says this. She says, how come my cousins are so excited about all the Marvel movies and stuff and superhero movies, but they're so bored in church? I said, that's easy because your church has no power. And she's like, I know. Why? Who's going to change it? I go, and when she said, who's going to change it? Lord goes, you are. I was like, no, because I don't like people who are hard-headed and those old ways, right? Something like, what? And then she goes, Then I say, we're supposed to be talking about the movie. And so she's supposed to talk about the movie. And she goes, wasn't that cool that he went to a school to learn how to do things in the spirit? Man, I wish there was a school that did that. And I was like, it was like this. And, you know, and so because I said, the person who starts that school is going to be severely persecuted. Okay? And the Lord goes, well, start it. I go, did you hear what I said? I said, my fear of persecution. I am not going to be the one. So in my head, I am arguing with God about my fear of persecution and how he's not asking me to do that. He goes, yeah, I asked you to do that. So I'm arguing here, but on the phone, she's talking about, wow, could you think that it's possible to do a school like that? And then on the other side of my brain, I'm seeing things like the first school in Kansas, Topeka, Kansas in 1900s, where the first girl spoke in tongues, right? And in that school, the guy who taught the baptism of the Holy Spirit was not spirit-filled. He had no experience. He was teaching by faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Christmas break came, and his students, they said, we're going to stay here for Christmas break. You go whatever. We're staying here because we're going to chew on this spirit-filled tongue-talking thingy. So they stay in the school, and on New Year's Eve, one girl speaks in tongues. The teacher comes back, and the kids are like, it's real, you know. And so then, but in that school was the same school where William Seymour was at. William Seymour went to the same school where the girl got spirit-filled, but William Seymour, being black, was not allowed to be in the classroom with the white students, right? He sat outside in the hallway listening to the teaching. Right, William Seymour goes to California, and we all know Azusa Street broke out, right? So Lord goes, so that guy broke the tongue-talking barrier, will you break the spirit barrier? I'm like, well, who would break the spirit barrier? I'm looking around the room, but I have this argument, I've had this on the phone, and my brain's doing this. Then he goes, then he shows about, I'm saying no on this side of my brain. He's because that guy broke it, the tongues barrier. And then he talks about the 4 minute mile barrier, right? For decades, it was like scientists said the human body can't run that fast. But then one day, a guy broke the 4 minute mile barrier, and then 2 years later, 20,000 people did, right? So the Lord's going like, break the barrier, break the spirit barrier, break the spirit barrier. And I go, okay, fine. So then I come back to the phone call deal, and I tell the lady, I'm going to do it. You're going to do what? I'm going to teach everything that's teachable. And she says, they were levitating in the movie. And I go, I'm going to teach flying. And she goes, can you fly? I go, I'm not teaching based on my experience. I'm teaching based upon the Father showed me, right? She goes, you can't do that. I go, stop it. I don't have enough negative in me, right? So the first module, which is really this fifth module, was flying. And the Lord was like going, don't be a wimp. Don't be just hovering. Don't be teaching about what they do in the Middle East, you know, levitating and stuff, you know. You need to teach it like flying, like you're flying against a plane. Not like Iron Man with a suit on, but you're flying. I'm like going, in my brain, I'm going, God, I need experience. He goes, no, you need to teach by revelation. I go, but what are they going to say? Okay, are we still have that fear, man? I think so. Well, you need to get past that. So flying, and so when I taught the class just a few weeks ago, I've been building up since New Zealand, and New Zealand's a whole different story. But the point is, whatever the Father birthed inside of you is possible, okay? But will you let Him birth anything in you, okay? And so the birthing process is an intimacy, just like a husband and wife cannot have a child without being close. You can't birth new things unless you choose to be close, okay, to the Father. And the closeness is in here. It's not somewhere else. It's he's abiding in you, and you need to go visit Him who's inside of you, you know. So as I was preparing, you know, as I got my, he told me the modules to talk on, and the sixth one or the fifth one was flying. I thought, okay, I believe it, but I'm not going to publish it. Because it was like, I mean, because I was just afraid of just the, who do you think you are? I was glad there are a few scriptures that, you know, Jesus has taken up as flying. And there's a few things out there, but I was just really regretting or fearing the talk, right? And so, anyway, so all my modules, I mean, I know a lot, I've been to a lot of conferences, but I don't regurgitate, okay? It's just, not that that's not wrong, I just don't. And it's part of who I am and who I'm designed to be, da, da, da. So when I got to the flying deal, I'm thinking like, okay, there's no, I can't Google the flying teachings, there's none, right? And I did find some New Agey Middle Eastern stuff, but they were just kind of hovering. I do know some witches who are flying, so I couldn't use that for their background, you know. So I'm like going, oh, God, I can't teach this unless you talk to me. Okay, so the flying is on, it's on my Podomatic. So you can listen to flying as many times as you want to.
Awesome.
But a person during the class was like, you know, just like me, what's the value of that? How does it expand the kingdom of God? I don't think you have to fly, right? And that voice of reason, the voice of logic, the voice of natural.
Yeah,
and
right.
I agree with all the things, you know?
Yeah.
But the other part of me is like going, what if? Why not?
Yeah.
Is that all things possible? Yes, but what's the purpose? Okay, the what's the purpose thing has stopped me from doing a lot of things, right? But purpose is just kind of reason in disguise. It's reason, logic in disguise. And you're trying to defend your reputation. Because if it fails, you know, it goes on to you, right? So, so the modules, you know, so I have a module on, I have some normal ones called, you know, who are you? Every module I've taught I've learned something totally new, something kindness that I'm like going, well, God, could you have one person share this also? He's like going, are you being a wimp again? Yeah, okay, fine, you know. So it's been a big adventure journey for me to have a university, say you have a university, you know, have modules, have people pay money, which I have money issues, not the lack thereof, but money and godly things. I still think of, well, if it's of God, you shouldn't charge. And so, you know, I have that in my head, you know, and the Lord had to really, what he did to get that out of me, y'all won't believe, but, you know, but anything that we think is whatever we think, we need to get it corrected by the Lord, right? That's his truth. So, you can listen to flying on your own, and that's all I got. I'm flying. Next.
You want to talk a little bit more about your university? Like, on your website, it doesn't, when you click, it says, for more information, send an email here. Like,
yeah, so I'm finding that my admin skills are way poor, right?
Aww.
And so it was either have a good write-up on my website or actually have a class, right? And I'm writing a book in the middle of it. So I was speaking, writing, doing this university, and trying to keep my website up. And so I just looked at it today. That's horrible. You know? So the school, the way it's designed is there's 12 modules, and that's on there. And but the way the Lord has me doing it is I send out a pre-read. The pre-read is something to meditate on, something to read, and two or three podcasts to get you close to where we're going, right? And so it's a pre-read. So it, when the Lord said university, I was like going, you mean training school? No, use the word university. I was like, well, people are going to laugh at me. Anyway, use the word. So I looked it up, university. So there's something about an additional discipline. I've been to Bible school, and my school is not structured like my Bible school. This is not for the I just got saved, yay, group. This is something else. So you have a pre-read I give you, well, not last week, but like I give them 2 days to prepare. So, but it's the preparation is not it's not a test-wise. It's like preparing the environment of your mind, preparing your environment to be stretched, right? So I have a pre-read. Then we have a live Skype class deal, so it's audio, not visual. I think the video distracts people, distracts me, so whatever. So no combination for Zoom. I like Zoom, you know. But but my university, it's Skype. So I have the text and little boxes, right? And I'm talking to them. So I record all the messages. And so at the end of a session, they get a recording and my notes, okay? And then after that, they get homework. The homework reinforces, so they should prepare, then engage, and then re-engage with listening to the recording, right? And then do the homework, which takes you back into it again. So the questions are not like, what do I say in the first 5 minutes? It's more like, okay, can you fly, yes or no? You know, can you personally fly, yes or no? And it's more of, what did you hear? What's the Holy Spirit going to show you something? And so it's a lot of open-ended questions for you to revisit that moment, revisit that teaching. And then the person has the option to do the homework and then send it to me. And if they send it to me, I'll go one-on-one with them to go through the homework. So I'm trying to go from, you know, hearing something to knowing something to applying something to really making it yours to where the Holy Spirit has lots of opportunities to show you what he wants to show you during the time. Because it may not be anything near the topic I'm on. My desire is for the person to go with their teacher, Holy Spirit, and know themselves and know their God and figure out how to live this life, right? And so right now it's 12 modules. And so I think after the end of the 12, I'll have, you know, a package, right? I'll have the pre-read, I'll have the notes, I'll have the recording, I'll have the homework. and a person could say, I need, module 4 on dual realm living. And they could get the packet, the pre-read, and then listen to the recording with my notes, and then it's not a test, go through the homework, and then contact me and go, hey, I'm ready to go through, what I saw, felt, heard during the homework, and we bounce it off. It's not like, no, you're wrong. No. It's not one of those. It's the, wow, you saw that? Wow, that's cool. Let's think about that some more. Let's go down that thing. So it's like, on the dual realm living, I talk on the time that I was pondering being omnipresent, right? And when I was pondering that being omnipresent, the Lord goes that your problem is you have a information overload, right? I go, yeah, when I go to IMAX theater, So he goes, you need to train yourself to be able to take in more information. I went, okay, what school does that? Hi, I want to apply for the omnipresent class. Do I pay $500 here? There's no class like that, right? So I said, okay, I'm willing to train. That's all I said, right? So later on that week, our church meets on Saturdays. So on Saturday night, I sit in the front row. So I'm on the front row with my drum. And all of a sudden, it was time to do this. So I'm sitting there. I said, okay, I'm seated on front row on my little cushion. I can see the stage. I can see my worship leader. Okay, I'm in one place right now, and I'm fully engaged. Okay. I'm now also seated in heavenly places. So if I'm seated in heavenly places, I should be able to see everything in that room and engage with that. So it was hard to explain with my hands, but I was seeing the stage, and I was perceiving another place. And I knew I was in two places at one time. And then it was like, okay, you're married. I mean, I'm married. And your wife is 12 miles away in the house. You're one, so be there also. So all of a sudden, there was like three almost screens. I could sense my wife was in our bed, in the bedroom, reading. So I was doing that. Church is getting to start, and I'm seated in heavy places. Then I said, my daughter is in youth group. I love her, so I can be where she is. So I could feel like she was dancing or something. She was moving, and I could feel her moving, my wife laying, me on the throne, me at church. And so I was taking in all this. I went to a fifth place and went, and I was like, okay, time, I'm out, And I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, so now I'm doing this in the front row of my real church. Wally, what are you doing? Nothing. Because, I'm experimenting, right? So I believe everything the Father has, we can experiment. We don't just go, I'm now invisible. One day I was going to a worship event. I like front row, so I go to the front row. As I go to put down my drum and my stuff, my percussion stuff, the Lord says, there's only one thing keeping you from going invisible. So I was like, only one thing? So I was very excited it wasn't 10,000 things, because I judged myself. If I just read this, if I just believe this, if I just, he goes, there's one thing keeping you from turning invisible. And he and I had been studying about when Jesus was in the temple, and he, they were trying to push him off the cliff, and then he did something, he turned invisible. And so I'd been pondering that, and he said, there's one thing keeping you from doing that. It's only one? I was thinking it'd be 2,000 lists and roll and roll. And so I paused for like a millisecond, and I was like, one thing, I'm growing so fast. He loves me. I love him. It's not a performance thing. We're just cool. It's cool. Like, that's great. Wait a minute. What's the one thing? let's do this. One thing. This is, take off the hat. So I go, what's the one thing? He goes, you're concerned about them. And I was in a tent worship thingy. I turned around, and it was four people. It was like a mother, father, and a son, and a daughter. I gave them the meanest look. And they're just minding their own business. I'm like, it's you. If it wasn't for you four people, I could be invisible right now. It wasn't the four people. It was my fear of man. It was my fear of explaining to them. You see, what happened was I was loving God. I turned invisible. And it's okay. See, I love to explain, right? But because I couldn't explain it, I couldn't, because, so I sat down mad that I was, my fear of rejection, my fear of, not failures, fear of rejection. I thought they would talk about me, fear of man. I'm sat there going, gosh, I thought fear was over. Darn it, you know? So there's all these things which are possible, but if you don't try them, they'll never be possible, right?
Yeah.
And it starts here. It doesn't start in your body. It starts in your mindset, right? So that scripture I said earlier, Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, alienated enemies in your mind, you know. So we have to be in agreement, right? I teach that a house divided cannot stand. Well, the house is spirit, soul, and body, right? Your spirit's like, yes, we can fly. Your soul's like, whoa, hold on, bucko. and then your body, my body, goes like, what about your contacts? They'll dry out. So, but if you're not in agreement, you're not doing anything, right?
Yeah.
So there's so much that we hold ourselves back from. Again, it's not about if you do it, you know, you're special. Now, there are some people who do things because they want to be special, and their identity is wrapped up into their testimonies, right? I used to play the Top That Testimony game. Oh, you led three to the Lord, did you? You know, and guys are like, what are you doing that for? Well, because I'm special. You know, yes, you're special, but stop trying to be special. Just be special, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But the journey's fun if you'll get on it, right? And your motives are never whatever, but if you let him do stuff, he'll do stuff, right? You know, it's not like we all want to, like, okay, now I'm ready. I think we're never ready for anything. You know, this is like, hey, it's a bad day for me. It's a bad day for you, Lord. And he never says, yes, bad day. You know, but it's like, oh, it's a bad day when I remember in college, people tell you when you're growing the Lord, you're spending some time with the Lord, you know, your devotional time, reading time, your prayer time. And I was really bad at that. And then one time I realized that it wasn't just me missing out on doing something good. The Father missed spending time with me. That blew my mind, that he wants to spend time with me. So when I don't do my 5 minutes, I'm taking away 5 minutes that he wants. And I'm like, what? You love me that much? I don't believe it. And I did not believe it. But it's true. The amount of pleasure you individually can bring the Lord is unreal. Right? Mm-hmm. But we think about, like, oh, I've got to fast to get ready for this, and oh, that everlasting life group, what am I going to do for them? Well, if you change your attitude, like, Father, what do you want to do for them? And I'm learning to do that. And then it's fun, you know. I would never got that scripture if it would have been, I've been looking for, what can I add to my podcast? What can I add to my book that I'm writing, which I want to finish? What can I?
Yeah.
But when I turn it and get on target with what he's doing, it's just fun, right? It changes everything. But that's living from the inside out, not outside in. Okay. What else you got there? Tamara left me. She doesn't like me anymore. She's gone. She turned invisible!
Oh my gosh, she did.
Come back, Tamara. We're not ready for you to turn invisible. Come back, come back. Okay. What else we got?
No, he's back. That's awesome, Tamara. Minute. Okay.
Okay, there's more questions out there. I can feel them.
I just, it made me think of while you were talking, something that Ian had said a while ago, that he was being mentored by this older being and he told him to stick his finger through the rock.
Yeah.
And he wasn't, do you know, you probably know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And this really stuck with me. And he said, you couldn't do it. He said, the problem, son, is your thinking.
Yeah.
Is the way you think.
What you think?
Because it's because we think it's solid that we have this mental block that we can't put our fingers through the rock.
Yeah.
So that got me on this whole trail of thoughts about, oh my God, like really nothing is impossible. It's just our brain that our mind, human mind that stops us from believing that we can fly or, you know,
take
all those
the time
other
to ponder wild things with God. It's weird. Like one day, usually my pondering time is Friday night to Saturday, like kind of, you know, the weekend type thing. I don't know how I got on this, but one this idea flew in my head. I think God throws things to see if he'll catch them, right? Oh no, that's not God. He let it go. But he throws things, and so this thought flew in. It was, what if gravity works because I believe in gravity?
Okay. Yeah.
What if gravity works because I believe in it? And I was like, what? I was, the whole day. And so again, so it was Saturday, Friday night into Saturday morning. And I'm going like, what if gravity is working? Because I've always believed in gravity. Can I stop believing in gravity? Now, but what if their thoughts about gravity affect me? Can I counter? And I was just like freaking out a little bit, you know, like, are they controlling me by gravity? Is it? I've never questioned gravity. What if I question gravity? So I get to church and I'm like on this gravity thing, and I don't want to talk to anyone because I don't want to come out of it, right? I don't want to go into disbelief or thinking about it, but I want to talk, right? So this Saturday night we were having kind of a pre-fellowship, so we were, I remember there was drinks and food stuff, but I walked in with this thing on me like, is gravity up to me? I was exploding on the inside. I wanted to share this with somebody, but I didn't want to get talked down. You know what I mean? You know, I'll be talked out of it or whatever. And so all of a sudden I see one of the, since it wasn't church yet, it was fellowship, there was a kid there and he was probably 11 or 12. And I looked at him and somehow I knew I could talk to him about it. Right. And I was in my 50s or 40, late 40s, and I'm talking to this 12. I go, dude, I think we can fly. I think gravity is optional. And the kid didn't go, Dad, Wally's weird again. He went, yeah, and we're now on the same level talking about flying in the building. Not about kind of flying. And so all of a sudden there was me, the 12-year-old, and some more kids, and we're all talking about flying, and gravity is up to us, and we're just having this thing, and one of the kids goes, we don't have to fly downstairs, we can go upstairs and fly, there's more room. And I'm thinking, I raised up this little, I don't know what these, they are total in belief that we go upstairs and fly. There wasn't like, you know, get permission from the pastor, it was this, so we're having this great, I don't know what it was, belief moment, and we're all excited, and I see one of my friends walk over who's an adult. He's got kids and stuff. He walks into the circle. We all go, we stop talking. And he goes, hey, what are you guys talking about? I saw you talking. And we're like, It was the weirdest deal because also we all just knew that we didn't want to come down out of our conversation to explain anything, to convince you, you know. So we were so rude to my friend. He's a friend of mine. We were so rude to him. Because we didn't say anything. We didn't say, like, how's it going? We looked up and looked around. And he was like, hey, talk to me. He walked away, and this is, I mean, don't do, well, anyway, we did. He walked away, and we got back to our conversation, and they're like, Wally, we should fly around here. And they go, we can fly through the chairs. And I said, I don't know, I'm bigger than you guys, I get stuck. And one of the kids goes, not if you fly really fast. I was like, you're right, I can fly faster. But it was like, there was no unbelief in the conversation. It was the wildest, coolest conversation that I can think of, right? That was outside of me, you know? But it's rare to find someone who'll believe with you, you know?
That's why Jesus said, unless you become like one of these, you will not see the kingdom of God.
There you go. Oh, ding. You're teaching next week. So, yeah, I mean, it's neat. So, like, so again, for your tribe, you know, maybe it's not time to talk about a bunch of stuff, but start believing it. And then let those things hatch, right? And don't do this, all right, we're all now going to talk about flying, and you're all going to fly. You understand me? You better believe. That ain't going to work, you know. You'll get to the, who they talk to? We saw that podcast. You know, whatever. But this is where we can birth things. We can make some things acceptable. Not to here, but spiritually from here, you can create an environment where it's more things are more believable, okay, or believable and beable, and but that's a whole different thing. Where I think that's words are. I was telling someone the other day that we need to start making more words up, because the words we have now are just don't cut it, right? Because like, how do you explain flying? You mean an airplane? No, you mean we need new words to capture the concepts the Father's revealing, right? And so just make up new words and just go with it and just explain what the Father told you. Don't defend it. Don't defend him. He's a big boy, right? He can take it. I can't. God said, well, you've been a wimp. I know. I'm not ready to talk about it. Okay, sit down. But For your tribe, as you start believing and moving back the walls of possibility to the walls that there's no walls, right? And let me say this. When on my first book, I wrote down, where's my book at? I wrote a scripture in the front end, and it's the scripture about how the Sadducees and Pharisees don't go through the door, and they actually shut the door on people. And so I was reading that thinking, I'm not a Pharisee. I go for it. I'm doing this. And the Lord goes, you are a Pharisee. I was like, I'm writing a book about seven spirits, so I'm not a Pharisee. He goes, you're a Pharisee. I was like, I was so offended, you know. And I was like, I don't cry, but I was trying to make up some tears, you know. And I finally got enough whatever to ask him what he meant by that. I said, because I was way offended. I'm thinking, I'm being obedient to you, and now you call me a Pharisee, you know. And so I got past myself, and I said, whatever you say is true, how is this possible? He says, if you, because see, we're all a letter observed and read by all men. Wally, when you don't do what you know you can do, you shut the door to her believing it, to him believing it. So when you don't do, you shut the doors. I was like, oh my gosh. So we're a family. If you go into the meeting or whatever, to Zoom deal, and you don't ask that question that you're supposed to ask, you are shutting the door to your brother and sister, right? If you don't go into the meeting, when I'd go to church, I used to go to church just for me. I go to church with my Bible and ready, prayed up, believed up, and get my revelation and go home, right? And God goes, what are you doing? I'm doing church. He goes, well, yes, you are. All right, time. What are you trying to say? And he goes, nothing. You're kind of selfish. Well, what do you expect of me? And he goes, okay, do you really want to know? So for me, on a great day when all things are good, I go to church to bring everyone in the building into heaven. I don't ask their permission. My job is, we're all going up. And my mind was like, what if they don't want to go? Well, they shouldn't have came to church today. because I'm on. It's game on, and so now when I go to a gathering, I'm not going to get. I'm going to give, right? And I'm going to give the fullest love. Now there's some days where I'm tired and I'm not going at my best. I'm just happy to play my drum a little bit, you know. But when I'm going as my father into the house, it's like, okay, what is impossible here? We're going to do it. I'm going to bring non-believers into heaven, and I'm going to bring songs down and songs up, and I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this, because I'm a son. That's my attitude going in. I give high fives to the angels going in, and it's game on. On a halfway Saturday night, I was like, God, I'm here, we're doing this. He goes, okay, I want you to put a crown on everyone in here. You got it, God, we're putting crowns on everybody. So I saw myself putting crowns on people. And our church is four sections. I did the first section. It was great. I was working with God, putting crowns on people. I got the second section. I was a little slower putting crowns. I got the third section. And I said, you know, God, I don't think they need a crown. Okay? I was, I don't know how to explain it, but I was tired spiritually, so I made up an excuse. I said, well, you know, they probably don't need crowns because I don't think they're really loving you. Like God's buying this. He's like, what did I ask you to do? I know what you asked, but after looking at this a little longer, they don't need crowns. As a matter of fact, they don't need crowns either, because they're not loving you with their whole heart. And he goes, you would have put a crown on them. Well, I know them. Like, he didn't know. I know them. They don't even want a crown. And then I got into, I don't think we have enough crowns to go around. And he was like, what are you doing? I went to poverty mindset. I went to no one's worthy mindset. I went out of his mind into all kind of minds, right? And I was trying to convince him, we got to save a few crowns because it's next week. I actually, you know, he's like, what are you talking about? Well, you know, we may have a big group next week. We got to save this bag of crowns. And they're not worthy anyway. And I was like, oh my goodness. But it was like, you have to, in Colossians, it says, keep your mind up there. And so in the midst of a spiritual activity, I fell out into judging and into non-loving and into non. And it's like, God still loved me. But I was like, wow, Wally, you're just not nice sometimes. Because I don't explain it, but I kind of just came out. And then made up excuses and stopped doing it. You know, so.
Well, Tamara, do y'all have anything else you want to add? I know it's 9 o'clock my time. So, let's, do y'all have any questions? And then we can get Wallace to...